You can tell a lot about a person based on how they use their time. When we get home from school or work, how do we view our free time? Do we ask ourselves how to waste the night away, how to most easily and enjoyably make it to tomorrow morning? Or do we take full advantage of our every moment, attempting to squeeze out as much potential as possible from each and every day? When the alarm goes off in the morning, do we jump out of bed like a lion ready to conquer the day? Or do we hit snooze again, again, and again? As human beings, we find ourselves stuck within time. So the question we face on a daily basis is, how will we use our time? Although events and decisions occur within time, there is an aspect of reality that transcends time. The Vilna Gaon explains fascinatingly that while events occur within time, ideas transcend it. Ideas don't happen, they simply are. They exist beyond the process of time. When thinking about and relating to ideas, we step outside the here and now and connect to something outside the movement of the clock, beyond the passing of time. So with this in mind and Pesach approaching, let's explore a fascinating idea related to time and its connection to Pesach. Time is one of the predominant themes of Pesach, but it expresses itself in such a unique and puzzling manner. On Pesach, we're commanded to eat matzah, unleavened bread, and are forbidden to eat chametz, leavened bread. This transcends logical explanation. The only difference between something being matzah or chametz is a single second. That means that a single second can determine your spiritual reality, dictating whether you performed a mitzvah or violated the most severe of prohibitions, whose punishment is kares, spiritual excision. Why is time such a central aspect of Pesach, and how can a second of time have such significant implications? Let's trace this theme of time through the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, the exodus from Egypt. The Torah commands us to eat matzah on Pesach because the Jewish people left Mitzrayim bechipazon, in great haste. The Jewish people were forced to eat matzah because they didn't have enough time to make bread. The Arizal, a famous 16th century Kabbalist, makes an intriguing statement about time and its meaning in the Pesach story. He posits that had the Jewish people remained in Egypt for even one more second at the point of the Exodus, they would have reached the 50th level of Tumah, a point of no return. Chazal explained that the Jewish people in Mitzrayim were on the 49th level of Tumah, the very lowest level of spiritual impurity. Had we sunk even one level lower, to the 50th, we would have been lost completely, beyond the point of rescue. So the Arizal emphasizes that it was necessary to leave with such speed to save us from falling to this last level. The speed with which we left Egypt was not simply practical. There was something fundamental about it. So the obvious question is, what is the importance of time and speed? Why is it so central to Yetzias Mitzrayim and Pesach? But before we answer this question, we have to examine the Arizal's comment a bit more closely, because it doesn't appear to make any sense. The Arizal says that had we delayed our exodus for even one more second, we would have been completely lost within the depths of impurity. However, the moment of the exodus seems to be the farthest thing from a spiritually dangerous moment. In fact, it appears to be the moment in which Klal Yisrael was at an ultimate spiritual high. The Jewish people had just witnessed Hashem unleash his wrath on the Egyptians through the performance of the 10 plagues, a systematic process of openly revealing Hashem to the world. The Ramban explains that all the principles of Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, were learned from these events. So we were clearly on a very high spiritual level. The night of the Exodus was a night of Makas Bechoros, the plague of the firstborn. Makas Bechoros was unique in that Hashem himself performed this Makkah. On this same night, the Jewish people brought the Korban Pesach, the Passover sacrifice, and painted their doorposts with blood, instilling within their hearts the knowledge that Hashem watches over us and protects us. This night saw some of the loftiest moments imaginable. One would expect the Jewish people to be at an equally lofty level, This was the very birth and creation of Klal Yisrael, the beginning of their journey to Har Sinai to accept the Torah. So how then and why would one more moment in this intense holiness and high spiritual level have been the destruction of the Jewish people? What's going on? And if this wasn't difficult enough, the Arizal takes it one step further. He not only says that if we had gone out one moment later, we would have been beyond hope, but even if we had gone out a bit slower, it would have been too late. Meaning the pace itself had to be fast. Not only when we left, but how we left was important. What's the meaning of all this? So to understand time, we have to first gain perspective on physicality in general. Time is a dimension of physicality and is even emblematic of it in some ways. Therefore, our approach to physicality will shed light on our understanding of time. Most spiritual schools of thought view the physical world as lowly and dangerous. It should therefore be avoided to whatever extent possible. In order to live a spiritual life, you have to escape the physical. Therefore, spiritual systems such as Buddhism prescribe meditation, abstinence, and transcending any hint of physical desire. In such a system, the ideal is to sit isolated on a mountaintop and meditate on your navel. Historically, this was the spiritual system of Shaman Aver. They understood the dangers of the physical world. They witnessed the evil and destruction of both the Dor HaMabel and Dor HaFlaga, and decided that in order to maintain their spirituality, they must remove themselves from the physical and lowly world. Abraham, however, taught a novel and idealistic approach to life. He understood that while the physical can be dangerous if misused, the ideal is not to transcend the physical, but rather to use it, to use the physical in order to reflect something higher. In other words, he understood the ideal Jewish spiritual system. Just think about it. How many mitzvos are commandments of the mind? Almost none. You can count them on your hand. Believe in Hashem, love Hashem, be in awe of Hashem, don't be jealous, and just a few more. The overwhelming majority of mitzvos are physical actions which connect you to the spiritual source, Hashem. The act is physical, while the spirituality and mindfulness is contained within the physical act. We eat matzah. We shake a lulav, we blow shofar, we wear tefillin. All actions, all physical. We don't believe in transcending the physical. We believe in using the physical to connect to the transcendent, to connect to the spiritual. Avraham brought this idea into the world. Avraham's mitzvah was the bris milah, the mitzvah which reflects the idea of taking the most physical and potentially animalistic organ and uplifting it to the spiritual. As the Maharal explains, it's done on the eighth day, since it represents going beyond the natural. Seven is the number of the natural, as all physical and natural components of this world are built off of sevens. 7 days in the week, seven notes in the musical scale, seven colors in the spectrum of light. Eight represents going beyond the natural, l'mala min hateva, which is why bris milah is done on the eighth day. We take the physical and use it to transcend. This is also why the miracle of Hanukkah lasted 8 days, and is also why it's done with Shemen, which is the Shoresh of Shmona, eight. Avraham is also equal to the gematria of 248. We have 248 limbs in our physical body, and we have 248 mitzvos asei, active physical commandments. Each of these commandments is an opportunity to use and uplift a component of our physical body for ultimate spirituality. Avraham's mission was to teach that the physical world stems from Hashem, the spiritual root. The physical is in no way disconnected from the spiritual. The only condition is that we must maintain control and focus while using the physical. In other words, our root must be spiritual, must be transcendent, and only then, while simultaneously maintaining that foundation, can we then come down and use the physical. This is why the first stage in the process must be transcendence. Only afterwards can we then come down and use the physical. First we have Yom Kippur, where we transcend as Malachim, then we have Sukkos, Zman Simchasinu, where we come back down and embrace the physical parts of life. We start with the first night of Pesach, a night of transcendence, and then we descend into the physical world, into the Midbar, where we then build and count our way to Ma'an Torah. Without rooting ourselves in the transcendent, we risk getting stuck within the physical. We can now apply these concepts to time. We can understand the importance of using time, controlling it, rather than allowing it to enslave us. We have two options. We can either let time pass us over and be pushed through life by time, or we can pass over time and transcend its limitations. The key is to use time, not to be used by time. We need to learn how to ride the waves of time, harnessing all the dormant potential within each moment. When you're passive in life, everything goes slowly. Time becomes quicksand. A life without goals, without a schedule, where moments of life don't mean anything, is a life stuck within the trappings of time. Such a person can kill time, literally. We say, oh, let's kill time. But literally, you can waste an evening and just get to tomorrow. One who values time, who rides time, views time like money. It's currency. You get to choose how you spend it. Every day we get 86,400 seconds, and how you use your allotted time determines what kind of life you live. This is the theme of matzah. Chazal in the Mechilta state that mitzvah haba liyadcha al tachmitzana. When a mitzvah comes to your hand, don't let it spoil. Or more accurately, don't allow it to become chametz. Chametz is the result of adding time to the baking process of bread. As the Maharal explains, this statement of Chazal is telling us not to allow any extra time to get added to our mitzvahs either. Otherwise, the mitzvah becomes stuck in time. And fascinatingly, the word mitzvah has the same shoresh, the root, as matzah. And the word tachmitzena has the same shoresh as chametz. Just as on Pesach, we mustn't let our food, our matzah, to get stuck within the trappings of time, so too, we shouldn't let our spiritual commandments, our mitzvos, get stuck within the trappings of time. And this is the difference between matzah and chametz. Matzah is baked within the absolute bare minimum time period, under 18 minutes, so that the bread doesn't have time to ferment and rise. One more second, and it's chametz. One more second, and you violate an iser kares. Anyone who studied the subject knows that chametz is an anomaly. It's a killer food. While normally you have to eat a specific shear, a specific amount, in order to violate an iser achila, a prohibition of eating, by chametz, there's no shear for the iser. Any amount violates the prohibition. And normally, there's a concept of bittul by isuri achila, that if there's an overwhelming majority of kosher food, of good food, we can ignore the problematic food. However, by chametz, no matter how overwhelming the majority, even if it's only a single crumb of chametz, there's no concept of bittul. All it took was a single second for the matzah to turn into this killer food. This infinitesimal difference is actually evident in the words themselves. Both the words matzah and chametz have the same letters, except for the hey and the ches. They both have a mem and a tzadi. The only difference between these two letters, hey and ches, is a tiny drop of ink. 1 second of time, one drop of ink. This concept manifests as well in the physical form of matzah. Because matzah transcends the limitations of time, it also transcends the limitations of space. We know that matzos take up the bare minimum amount of time for bread to bake. As a result, the bread doesn't rise, and it therefore occupies the bare minimum amount of space as well. Once, however, you allow the bread to get stuck within time, the physical dough also gets stuck within space and begins to physically expand. This is why the very same pasuk, which teaches us to guard the matzos and make sure that they don't become chametz, ushmartem es hamatzos, teaches us to guard our mitzvos, ushmartem es hamitzvos. Both require zrizus, alacrity. Both need to transcend the limitations of time. When you have a matzah, you mustn't let it become chametz. You mustn't let it sink into time. And so too, when you have a mitzvah, You mustn't let it become spoiled and sink into time. The Maharal and Gur Aryeh and Shamos explained that if you let a mitzvah sink into time, you are destroying that mitzvah. Instead of being an ideal spiritual act, it becomes spoiled and limited, stuck in time. And there's actually an even deeper connection between mitzvos and matzah that we can appreciate based on the ideas we've been developing in the past few shiurim. As the Maharal explains, a mitzvah is not simply a command from Hashem, it's an opportunity to create connection. By connecting to Hashem's will, to His mitzvah, to His command, we become connected to Him on a deep existential level. Thus, mitzvos are acts of connection. Eating is also an act of connection. Eating connects the physical body to the angelic soul. If you don't eat, your soul will leave your body. So we see that both mitzvos and matzos are acts of connection. We see that connection requires the right timing. This theme is also very connected to the concept of Kedusha. What's Kedusha? What's true holiness? Kedusha is when you connect the limited and finite physical world to the infinite and transcendent spiritual. The Khartoumim, the sorcerers in Egypt, the sorcerers in Mitzrayim, they couldn't reproduce the Makkah of lice, of Kinim, since evil, Ra, can only take hold on physical and finite things, when beyond space and time, evil has no power. This is the place of Kedusha. This is the concept of using the minimum amount of space and time by mitzvos and matzos. Interestingly, once you enter the quantum dimension, normal physics stop. Things are and aren't. We enter a state of paradox, where all rules of limitations break down. This is literally a taste of the spiritual dimension beyond time and space. And we can now begin to answer our original questions. Pesach night was the inception of Klal Yisrael as a nation. It was our birth. As the Maharal explains, the Korban Pesach, the Pesach sacrifice, was about becoming one as a nation. We used a one-year-old calf. It had to be eaten in one house as a single chabura, a single group. It was roasted as opposed to cooked because roasting makes the meat become one as opposed to cooking, which makes the meat fall apart. It was roasted whole, not as cut up pieces, and its bones could not be broken, had to maintain their oneness. All of these details of oneness reflected the oneness that was being created that night. Klal Yisrael was becoming one as a nation, a single nation, and one with Hashem. But every process contains multiple stages. The first is the spark of creation, which is then followed by a slow process of expressing that seed, and then finally, the finished product. So if you take, for example, the growth of a tree, first there is a seed, and then that grows through the slow process until finally that seed is expressed and becomes a full tree. A human being goes through this process as well. Every person begins as a zygote, a single cell, which grows and develops into the end result, a fully formed human being. In every process of creation, the root, the seed, is the most important and potent phase. This formative stage is the most delicate. Any error or imperfection present in this stage will have cataclysmic results. For example, if a boy cuts his finger at the age of 7, it's not that bad. But if there's even a minor glitch in the DNA of a zygote, even a single chromosome missing, everything can go wrong. The results can be catastrophic. And this is the same principle we use to explain Nadav and Avihu sin. We can now use this to explain the formation of Klal Yisrael. When forming the root and seed of Klal Yisrael, we needed to be perfect, transcending all the limitations of time and space. We needed to move bezrisus. Our food needed to transcend the limitations of time and space, and so did our very movement itself. This is the secret of matzah. And this is the secret to understanding the Arizal's cryptic statement. Had we moved 1 second slower, or even a moment too late, then our very root would have been stuck within the trappings of time. Our zygote had to be constructed within the dimension of Zrizus, beyond the constrictions and limitations of time and space. We were creating our DNA. Everything had to be perfect. now that we were rooted beyond time and space, we could receive Hashem's Torah, something also rooted beyond time and space. Only once we ourselves were rooted beyond the limitations of time and space can we then come back down and use time and space to reflect something higher. It's therefore no coincidence that Klal Yisrael performed the mitzvah of Bris Milah before leaving Mitzrayim. As we just explained, this is the mitzvah of the eighth, the ultimate paradigm of connecting the physical to the spiritual. As the Maharal explains, Torah is also the eighth, which is why we received it on the 50th day after leaving Mitzrayim, the eighth week. This brings us full circle to how we began this shiur. Torah and ideas exist beyond the dimension of time. May we be inspired to fully harness the potential of our time, to use time and not be used by time, and to enter Pesach and the mitzvah of matzah with the mindset of connecting to ourselves, to all of Klal Yisrael, and to Hashem himself.